everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are trying to figure it out as they make their way through life and comedy and everything in between. With me, as always, is Dwight Simmons, and I am Matt Alano Martin. I switched it up. I put you first, Dwight, and then I brought up the rear, if you will.
I've been manifesting this entire year that people should put me first.
There you
and
go.
And I'm glad that the universe is finally responding in kind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got the message.
Mm-hmm. I did, yeah.
I appreciate
this
it.
Entire year, all 39 days we've had of the year so far, 38 days of the year, you made it happen, buddy. Yeah.
You know, if you do something for 40 days in a row, it becomes a habit. So
okay,
I'm almost there. And you are the most clean shaven that you have been in a very long time, looking good.
Thank you. I disagree. I'm growing my beard back immediately, but
you always say that as soon as you shave. You're always like, this is the worst decision I've ever made.
Well, I mean, I had a lumpy beard and I had to shave it off because it was finally getting to the point that I would see it on, like, you know, I'm taping my sets and I would notice. And again, probably most nobody else was really noticing, but I could see how bad my beard looked, right? And again, I'm still doing well. People are laughing. And now I'm just wondering, are they laughing because my beard is all weird? Like, I want them to laugh at the material, not my lumpy beard. And I don't know if you've never grown your beard out like crazy long, but it gets weird textures and like waves and curly cues in it and stuff. And so trying to trim it down, you almost just have to start over. And so that's what I've done. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm starting from scratch, and I really wish that I would have waited another month or so because walking the dog, it's cold, man.
Yeah. What do you think it's like for us with nothing
bare
up
cheeks.
Top?
Yeah.
Nothing up top. Yeah. This, I mean, I can't grow a beard. I think we've covered that extensively.
That's really the main thing that this podcast is about the journey of Dwight's beard. Is it ever going to fill in on that one side? We don't know.
And all of my Instagram targeted ads have to do with balding up top and patchy beards. They know me.
Yeah.
They know me. It's very funny. But like, it's funny you mentioned watching yourself on tape because you should be watching for actual content and audience reaction. And you're like, man, I'm standing funny up there. That's why I hate watching myself because I'm always like, I really sound like that. I'm not even like that invested in the jokes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really do that with my hands.
I do a weird tea kettle thing with my hand. I've noticed, like, where I put my hand on my right hand. I'm holding the mic with my left hand. My right hand goes on my hip, but it's weirdly also like curled to, like, I'm fully making a weird, like, delicate little teacup handle with my arm. And I don't know why I do it, but that's a thing I've been doing lately. That though doesn't bother me nearly as much as a lumpy beard. I was like, we gotta fix this beard sitch. But it is the thing. You're gonna focus on everything except for what you should be looking at, which is how those jokes doing. Did you deliver them well?
Don't care.
What's your energy? You're like, I can't believe I wore that shirt. What was I thinking?
You know? That outfit is terrible. Is your teacup thing like Chappelle slapping the mic on his knee? Like you're telling the audience when to laugh. It's good to laugh.
No, I think what it was is I realized I was putting my free hand in my like pocket, like my either jacket pocket or hoodie pocket. And if I'd not this clips that I'm talking about, I was just in a t-shirt because the room was super hot. So I didn't have like a pocket to put it in. And so I'm just putting it where there should be a pocket. Because you don't want to be that dude that just puts his hand in his pants pocket. That's real weird, you know, for extended amount of time. And I'm talking about front or back, either one. If you just resting your hand in your jeans pocket, not great, you know?
No, you don't want to do that.
Jingling your change and a little something else, man. You know?
Custodial comedy. We'd love to see it. Did you watch the Grammys?
I did not watch the Grammys. I'm not a big award show guy. And I just assumed it was all going to be bullshit because I feel like the Grammys usually gets it wrong. I did see the Killer Mike won and then got arrested later on that night at the Grammys.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts. He won 3 Grammys and they carried him out of the damn wherever they were having it for a misdemeanor. It was wild.
What? So was there something he did there or he just had a warrant?
I I don't know.
I just Googled it because I didn't bother. He was a misdemeanor battery charge after Grammy wins.
Security.
Oh, okay. Oh my God. Yeah. Let's see here real quick. The rapper did not elaborate on the incident, but said he has confidence that it will ultimately be cleared of all wrongdoing. So did he get into it with the security person or something?
I guess so. It all said alleged, and then they arrested him, which feels insane, alleged battery, because Will Smith did a real battery on tape, and they let him sit down and finish the show.
Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
That is, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. But he was in Men in Black, and that's true. You know, so
he was Independence Day.
Yeah, he was. He's you know, military and also a type of law enforcement, and so that's why, you know, they protect their own. It's the thin blue / alien gray line. You know, that's what they were really the military version of that, the thin camouflage line. Maybe, I don't know.
I'm certain there's a flag out there for it that you can get at a Love's truck stop.
Okay, so I just found out with the, this is from LA Times. An altercation allegedly broke out after a security guard tried to keep the rapper and his entourage from passing through an area in the venue, a source close to the investigation told the Times on Monday. It's unclear why the guard permitted access. The musician, 48, allegedly engaged in an altercation with the security guard who was knocked down to the ground. The guard injured her hand in the fall and requested a citizen's arrest. Police were called to the scene. This investigation is ongoing. Anyway, I didn't know that Killer Mike's middle name was Santiago. That's pretty dope. When did he drop that in any raps? I don't think he does. Santiago Render. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I know everybody's listening. It's like, I thought this was a comedy podcast. It is. We're getting around to it.
Sure.
We just had a it's been a few episodes since we've talked about our other passion, which is hip hop music. I did a deep dive this past weekend, going back and listening to the first three Lupe albums again. Still some of my favorites, man. Lupe Fiasco, had he not decided to just become a pop person instead, would have easily gone down as one of the goats. And then we're like, I don't know about this Dragos Light and
I mean
stuff that you're doing.
Matt, people like to eat, okay?
I understand.
Can't all be,
get paid. Yep.
Can't all be true artists in the sense of stick to your guns, be a stoic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, Lupe wanted to eat after those first three classic albums. He said, you know what? I'm sick of making music for people that only download on Napster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm trying to win a Grammy.
He was like, I no longer want to make music for time travelers who are going back in time and taking my albums with them and downloading them on Napster. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what year was that first album?
It was a while ago, I'll tell you that much.
LimeWire, at least.
Yes. Oh, man. Speaking of weekends, you had a heck of a weekend. You were yet again at another festival darling, Dwight Simmons, just racking them up. You were at the West End Comedy Festival down in Atlanta. How was the weekend? How were things?
It was great, man. Like I said last week, I love Atlanta. Any excuse to go to Atlanta, I will be taking it. Megan came with me, and we left a day early so we could do Joe Pettis's show.
Mm-hmm.
I did a Sweetwater. It's the longest running brewery comedy show in America, and it's awesome. It's a free show, and it's always full. Sweetwater's like its own campus. It's so big, and they have food now, and they have different rooms. It's still upstairs, so it's away from everything happening in the actual brewery.
Right.
Like, the show has its own space. And all the comics on that showcase were festival comics, so it was like, it was cool. It was like a pre-show fest warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really hot show, and then the festival was just so fun. 8-minute sets. I did two of them. I did one show called Promedy.
Mm-hmm. I saw the photos. You were very dapper. You looked great.
Oh, man. That was fun. What a cool concept. Everybody dresses up like they're going to prom. And Cassidy Kulanik, whose show it is, she's out of Chicago. She hosted it. And she gave everybody these really funny, weird high school intros that they did not know about. I thought it was so funny.
Okay.
And then I thought,
what was your intro? You can't tease us like that. What was the intro she gave you?
She gave me class slut, just a big old whore.
Okay.
The biggest hoe.
You know how they give those out in high school, you know?
They do, right? Yeah. I mean, you can get, I've seen Cruel Intentions. Okay. That's the vibe. I think it's because I was with my wife the whole weekend. So she thought it was funny. Yeah. But
that's some real slut behavior. You with your wife the whole weekend.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Wedding ring on.
Yep.
This my lady right here.
Yep.
Man, but it was fun. I had fun riffing on that set. The festival was all in one like complex. So there are like three breweries. There's a distillery. There's a food court. It's a massive complex. So it was easy to bounce around the shows.
Oh, nice.
And I thought they did a good job staggering. So I just want to give a shout out to Holly, Amber, and Karen. This is all woman run festival. I'm glad that I got to be a part of it. I had a comfy biscuit at Homegrown. I feel invincible for the next 365 days.
That's good.
Fried chicken on an open biscuit with sausage gravy, and it makes you want to take a nap.
Oh yes, it does.
Immediately.
Yes, it does. Yes, a nap in heaven. That's where you take that nap. You're just so happy, and you're back into the womb, baby. It's so good.
It's so damn good. I had some fried green tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get them down
south. Your favorite movie. Yes, Iron.
Yes, I've been watching Fried Green Tomatoes once a week since I was 13.
We all know you're a big Kathy Bates head. We know that about you.
You know, but the funny part about that movie is that she's not even in it that much.
I know, but it's the one scene that everybody knows about is when she rams her car into the young girl's car because they stole her parking spot. That's like the most quoted part of the entire thing. Yeah,
that's funny. But yeah, man, it was good. I had a great time. I usually don't. Megan doesn't come to festivals with me because it is a weekend of networking, hanging out, trying to be around and be present and actually sit down and talk to other people. But she's been around comedy long enough to know what the deal is. So it wasn't even like an issue. And everyone loves her.
Yeah. It's not like he's like, yeah. And then Megan rolled in and everything was ruined. you got to worry that she's going to outshine you. People are not like, who is that comic that was married to Megan? Megan was so delightful. Who was that?
It was the dude on stage doing the jokes.
Who was that corny ass motherfucker she married to?
while she was holding court at the bar.
Yeah.
good problems makes my job easier. That was my weekend. What about yours?
It's good. Let's see. Well, I had this is gonna be a weird kind of shout out thing, but I went to the Attic open mic on Thursday to try to run once again the submission set. I was pretty sure that I had caught it at Kansas City at Barrel of the Bottoms, the very first show that I did there, the Don't Tell show there. I'd opened my set with what I wanted to be my submission set. But as I mentioned on the podcast before, like the camera got tilted over like a crazy, like 40 degree angle.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have that, you know, advanced of video editing stuff. I use iMovie, and iMovie, you can only turn stuff like by 90 degrees.
Okay.
And so I had to send it to John Cessna, a buddy of mine who does video work for the University of Michigan. And he was able to correct him. And it's a 4K video. It's like a 45 minutes long set in 4K. So like to upload it to the Dropbox, to send it to him, took like a day.
Right.
And then like for him to grab. So it was like a week long process, but he corrected it. And then I got into it and realized that the audio is like a little wonky. Right.
Oh.
And so I sent that to my friend that owns a recording studio. I sent them the audio from the camera and the audio from the phone. This is how cursed this has been, me trying to get this fucking set. But I had like, it was a hot show, and like, I had a really fun, like, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good. It's really, really pretty strong. I feel like that's first 7 minutes. And so I'm willing to do all this extra shit to try to fix it. To like get a submission set.
Calling in
the experts, babe. Oh, hell yeah, I am.
Man.
Yeah, dude. But it's going to be worth it. But I was like, well, let's just go ahead and try to capture it all in one anyway. So I get to the Attic, the open mic, and I walk into the green room and start pulling my camera stuff out. And the top half of my camera stand just comes off. Like, it somehow had gotten sheared completely in half. And it was just sitting on it. It like the part that you attach the camera to was just sitting on top of the legs. And that's why my camera was all tilted in Kansas City. I didn't realize is it had already broken.
Okay.
So there was no other stand that could fit my camera. And so I just went home. It's like, y'all got enough comics for the open night. You don't need me, right? And they're like, no. And I'm like, all right, see ya. It's like, I mean, I was there for, purpose, and I had not prepared any new material to run. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd written some stuff, but nothing got to the point where I was like, oh, I should stick around and run that new stuff. I was like, no, I came to do this one thing and I couldn't do it. So I just came back home and watched TV with Denise. It was great.
Oh, I love that for you. Yeah. I love that you're just like, you know, ejector seat.
Yes. No, what's going to be better for me as a person is to not sit through an entire other mic, you know, and just to get up there and half-ass it or do jokes I already know that work, but not get them on camera.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was nice. And then Saturday, I had two really great sets at Bombs Away Comedy at the Comet in Cincinnati.
Yes.
Early show is full. Late show is a little bit lighter, but still pretty good. Like, the room is probably like half full. A couple of comics came out as well. Shout out to Phil Pointer and Bridget Denneman. Both came out just to hang for the late show.
Yeah.
And I think that's Bridget's last name. I've only seen it in print. I don't know if I've ever actually said
I think it's just Denman. But...
Denman. Okay. You know, like, they were, it was one of those things too where I'm going to open with this. And the early show, it's okay, but there's like a little bit of a chirpy going on. People in the audience are kind of chirping back. I was like, all right, I'll get it the second show, right? It didn't get the clean seven that I wanted up top. The second show, literally, there's a drunk white woman about age, probably late 40s, early 50s. And the second joke is about my beard. I still had the beard at that time. And it's about, like, my friend said I'd probably look younger if I shaved my beard. Literally, the second joke, I'm like maybe 45 seconds into the set. She goes, you would. You should. And she just starts, like, talking to me. And so I'm like, well, this taping is done. Oh. Like, I can't start over. So then I was just like, which in a way was almost good, because then I was just like, ah, fucking, and I just had a very loose set and it was very fun. And she was well-meaning, drunk white lady, you know, as they so often are. And
well-meaning, drunken white lady.
Lady, yeah. Like, they don't know that they're being the worst and that they're ruining the show, you know?
Yeah, that's a merch idea. Put it on a shirt, Matt. Well-meaning.
Don't blame me. Don't blame me. I'm a well-meaning. So they were very fun shows. Corinne Turnbow was on both of the shows, as was Spencer Dabowski. He has a kind of like a Eastern European last name that I'm not going to get right, but they both did great. The shows were hosted by Garrett Teitelbaum, who did a great job hosting. And I don't know, like, it's the last three or four times I've been there, I've had to follow Corinne, and I've been able to figure it out. If people don't know Corinne, she's a Cincinnati comic who is just murders. And she's also pretty filthy and says the N-word a lot, which is okay. She's black. And so I was NASCAR. Like, and I'm going to try and come out and get this, like, clean for TV 7 minutes. It's like, and I was like, I think we can do it. And this time, like, that early show when I followed her, like, you could just feel the energy drop. People are like, haha, at my jokes. Like, that's not like what we just saw, the energy and everything.
Right.
And so it was like, I'm proud of myself. I was able to figure it out the first two times that this has happened to me when I've had to follow her. But she got me this time. I was like, all right, okay. Hey. And then I'm step it up a little bit.
A tennis match. That is tough to, when you're so dramatically different in energy. I feel like I'm pretty high energy, especially in a short set. And the person that went after me at Sweetwater is very low energy, great comic, seen them before. And they finally, it took them a minute. And it's not because the comic's not good. It's just because the audience, the energy dip is just like, okay, now we have to reset and readjust.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, and we talked about this a couple episodes ago when you were in Chicago for the Netflix auditions and you had to follow Lucas Waterfill. And after he murdered, you did it so brilliantly. And I tried to do this too, where I was like, give it up for, you know, where you like had to give them their flowers and like, oh, that was, I'm with you guys. I'm a fan. They're great, you know?
Yeah.
And then transition them in. And I realized what I probably should have been doing this entire time instead of opening with this was I should have buried the 7 minutes in like in the middle of my set.
Yeah.
Like get them. Cause then I could fuck around and say things like fuck around that, you know, you can't say on TV, you know, yep. Like I can be like, ah, oh, loose and I'm in the moment. And that's what I did on that late show. I did wait. So actually it wasn't 45 seconds into her before she started chirping. It was maybe 2.5 minutes in. I did okay. Some riffing on the last comic. That time I had to follow Spencer. So I riffed a little bit on his set and on Garrett, the host set. And then I was like, all right, I kind of got him. And then we get into it. And then immediately started doing the yeah. stuff I was trying to capture. She chirped up. I want to say though, shout out to Planet Killer Jeff Bezos, because man, Amazon Prime had me a new camera stand the next day.
Damn.
Yes. I came home from the open mic before I started watching TV with Denise. I got on the laptop. I ordered a new camera stand.
Yeah.
And it showed up at my house at like 1 p.m. the next day.
Wow, man. Yeah. And at least three people had to pee in a bottle. In
their Amazon delivery. Yeah. I mean, probably a couple kids died. Probably a couple kids died to make that happen. And
no lunch breaks for you. Matt needs his damn tripod. Yeah. His camera stand. Do you think you put your new stuff or the stuff that you want at the front of a set because you want to just get it out of the way?
Yeah, that's, I think, a big part of it. Also, I wanted to capture that idea of like getting introduced up. And mm-hmm. if I was better at this, what I would have done, and I may still like open, because I feel like it is the 7 minutes that I'm using for this mission set is a condensed version of what is probably going to be the first chunk of the next hour. Mm-hmm. There's like kind of a dirtier joke. Like I riff on the low T thing. And it gets a little dirty, like, which is like the second joke or first joke kind of goes into has a tag where I mentioned low T about my age. And so I've taken that dirty joke out.
Gotcha.
But I'm going to keep opening with this, I think, because, yes, you get it out of the way. And like, it's in the front of the new hour. This is how I'm starting. I'm starting going, talking about turning 50 and all this aging stuff, going into gym stuff. And I'm also, this is also a condensed version of the gym stuff. So what I think I'm probably going to do is, if we'll see if this audio corrected stuff makes the clip better, because I sent you the clip with me trying to fix the audio. And what had happened on that audio on that Kansas City clip was I always double record. I always record also on my phone just in case. But my phone was like in the corner of the stage. So it was a weird kind of muffled kind of sound.
Yeah.
And then the shotgun mic on my camera, which is usually great. The camera was directly below this like heat vent blowing thing. And I don't mean like it's like it's kind of audible. Like it's the most audible
it's
thing.
Like a full HVAC.
Yeah. And so, you know, and so that's why I had to call in the professionals. You know, I did the best I could and I sent it to you. But I rewatching it again, I was like, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Like that questionable audio, even with the way that I had tried to fix it and made it, you could hear what I was doing.
Right.
But it's still great and perfectly clear, it's going to be enough that gets me not selected for a festival, because we're on the other side of it and we see what the review panel does sometimes, and they're like, yeah, this was hard to listen to.
Right.
If you're making it challenging for them to listen for 5 minutes, ooh, that's not a good look.
Yeah.
And so it's, I was true. Like, I gotta call in the pros, you know, on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
anything that's gonna be a tiebreaker, you just gotta fix it or redo it.
Fix it or redo it. So if the fixed audio is actually getting uploaded right now, the guy texted me right before we started recording. So I'm going to drop it in with the video and see. Mm-hmm. And if it's still not good enough, then I'm going to just be opening all of my sets this month too.
Right.
For the rest of February with that. Cause I got to get it.
Yeah.
If I want to submit to things, I got to get it.
I like that starting with it. I think of a Roy Wood Jr. interview he did. I'm not sure what it was on, but he was talking about trying to submit to clubs and late night, basically talking about getting good tape where he would go up and do like 10 minutes to get the audience. There is that you want to get the audience first.
Yeah.
And then he would take like a complete breath reset. And that's where he would start the tape because he already had the audience. So I wonder if that's a good way, just specifically if you're trying to get a solid tape.
Because, yeah, probably.
Like, starting from scratch feels like you put so much pressure on that first 7 minutes, whereas you're already a professional. You know how to get the crowd going. I wonder if it's better to get the crowd going than ride that momentum to where you feel stronger about the 7 minutes that you're trying
I
to get
think
up.
So. And I think going forward, I just need to figure out what then am I going to open with. That's maybe I bring back some older stuff, something off the last record or something like an opener that just kind of works and gets them going. And then, yeah, the thing that I kept telling myself to do that I would never do because I'm just kind of in the moment was at the end of the set, because I was doing it right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Leave a huge break where I take a big long breath and I just kind of stand there for a second for editing purposes.
Yeah.
And I even told Garrett Teitelbaum, the hosting, I was like, I may do a thing where like after 7 minutes of being up there, I'm gonna say, okay, thanks everybody, and walk off stage.
Yeah.
I was like, don't come up. I'm trying to get something taped.
Right.
So I was like, I'm gonna turn back around and be like, I'm just joking around. I got some more jokes for you. You know, I was gonna do this very fake thing like that.
Yeah.
You know, which maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll do that because I do like the way it opens. I think it's fun. It's silly. It's good energy. But you're right. It's probably a safer move to maybe not immediately open with it, at least spend a minute or two getting them going.
Yeah.
And then shift. So, yeah.
Because it's harder, like, especially if you're trying to, like, we're trying to submit to late night and we're trying to, like, get in that mindset. We're not the first thing that the late night audience sees. There's, like, context. And it's like, all right. But if you're following someone who just murdered, then you're like, all right, here's some structure.
Yeah.
And they were like, I don't know if we want this.
Why aren't you talking to us? We had that last person talk to us a bunch and did a bunch of stuff.
It could be yes, baby. That's funny. Yeah. The video, you've got me wanting to probably invest in a camera. The video that you shot is at least sound. I think, my phone camera is pretty decent. But the sound is always a little wonky. So
yeah,
getting a new tripod and getting some better sound, because your videos look great. Obviously you have professional equipment, but
yeah, it was an investment that I feel like it was worth it. And also, because you know this already, but just for the listeners, if you are making $10,000 a year or more in comedy, the IRS considers a job and you have to claim it. But on the bright side, that means you get to write everything off. So that just goes away. I wrote off that camera, the microphone, everything. Every time you get a new iPhone or Google Pixel or whatever, you can write that off, so that's the nice side of it, and a benefit, and is really the only thing that makes this minimum wage job able
it.
To work,
Yeah.
But yeah, I had also played around with doing, I have like a Zoom type recorder, Tascam Zoom recorder, that's I can bring with me to record audio as well. But it's also like, how much gear and how set up am I going to do for these like little shows that I'm on,
Right.
And honestly, in the right room, like the shotgun mic on top of the camera has been aces. It's been great. Like the people who have listened to, past episode of the podcast know how cursed I've been trying to get this tape. That New Year's Eve weekend where I'm murdering three sold out shows and there's a giant piece of tinsel in between the camera and my face the entire time. Mm-mm. Man, it sounds amazing. This audio is amazing. We turn that over to somebody and have them animate it. That would work.
Yep. Yep. It's like, why?
Yeah.
It's a cartoon set.
But just that shotgun mic on the camera in most rooms, in any kind of real room like a comedy club, is going to be more than enough.
Right.
So I haven't messed with bringing my Tascam thing. And but yeah, it's the many, many different pieces of the puzzle that we have to figure out to get good tape, and even beyond good tape, then to make good clips for social media.
I saw at the festival that Thursday night show. People had like, I thought they were filming another Marvel movie in Atlanta. Like every comic had a giant tripod, like heavy duty ship, like a film crew. They're one man film crews just filming 8 minute sets. And I'm like, do I want to do all that? I don't know if I want to do all that.
Yeah, the reason that I made that jump and bought a professional camera is because I can't tape with my phone, because it would fill me with too much anxiety to have my phone be in the back of the room or somewhere. Yeah. Like I have to, because I also like having a running stopwatch on stage with me which when you're recording audio on it also is just showing you. So I can constantly glance down and then know where I am in the set, how much time I have left. And so I was like, because I did think, I was like, maybe I just got to get another iPhone.
Yeah.
That's just for taping. And I was like, yeah. Oh, fuck, if I'm going to do that, which is the same cost nowadays as buying this camera. So I'm like, all right, I'll be one of those nerds with a giant tripod. I don't care. I'll be the AV club.
Everybody's used to it now. Like, nobody even gives it second thought. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just, where can I set up my my 4K 300 pound equipment?
I'm going to be doing a tracking shot, so I need to lay down these rails across the back of the room. So we can just do a seamless tracking.
Yeah, I showed up. I showed up 3 hours early to get lighting correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's where we are, baby. That's we work where for we the are algorithm.
Nowadays. Oh, Jesus!
I saw the some of the people's followers, and I was like, maybe I should. I saw how many followers they had, and I was like, all right, yeah, well,
yeah,
okay. I'm not doing bad, by the way. Update on my. My goal of hitting 10K.
Mm-hmm.
I am at 71 on Instagram.
Nice. Oh, hell yeah, dude.
So on the way.
Yeah.
On the way.
Great. No, that's great.
Going to keep pushing stuff into the ether and screaming into the void, and hopefully something will matter in the end.
Yeah, but one day.
Before I have a question of the week that is relevant to what we just talked about, but do you want to plug some upcoming shows?
Let's do the question after we plug our upcoming shows, and I'm pulling my stuff up real quick. So why don't you go ahead and go first?
I'm off this week. Bye, baby. Yes.
What a plug. What a fantastic plug. What are you doing on this off weekend? Valentine's Day weekend. What are you doing?
Is this Valentine's Day weekend or is
Is next Wednesday. Yeah. And so it could be either way.
That's dicey.
You could look at it either way. Yeah.
That's dicey. Well, Matt, tonight I'm making lettuce wraps. So
nice.
I will be doing some cooking all week and watching the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Okay.
Nice. On the 14th, Valentine's Day, I will be at the Sycamore Saloon. That's the 14th. Did I say that already? Probably. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of caffeine. I'll be at the Sycamore Saloon in Nashville, Indiana.
Indiana, okay.
Not the official Nashville. And then on the 16th, that's a Friday, I'll be in Stevensville, Michigan. And all that info is at my website, dwightsimmons.com.
Your favorite, Michigan. You're back.
I'm back in Michigan.
Just can't quit it, baby.
They love me too much.
Yeah. So this weekend on the 16th, I'll be at The Main in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I've done that room one time before with Chris Higgins. It was a ton of fun. And I'm looking forward to returning to perform there again, headlining that show.
Yeah.
And then on the 17th, I'm doing Coral Gables in Saugatuck, Michigan.
A show that
I swore that I would never do again.
Yeah.
One of the worst shows of my career.
He's back.
And that they complained about me to the bookers. The bookers heard also about me. Apparently everybody's forgotten. They've forgotten. I've forgotten. They, to my credit, they did increase the pay. I think they almost doubled the pay.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, all right. Now that it actually pays an okay, I don't even say good, but like an acceptable road gig amount of money.
Right.
And it's tacked onto another show before, which is routing wise works out well for me. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So I'm looking at it. I'm honestly like, I'm going to go in there and try to really kill. I'm like really going to like try and have a great set and change this memory. Like, let's make it a new place for me. Cause I know you love that room. You always do well in it.
I love it as a workout room. I do. Like, really, if I had to like list 10 workout rooms, that would be number one or two, because like you said, the pay is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's very low stakes. And I feel like they'll always ask you back no matter what happens, because
apparently they will.
Not that many people, most people stopped doing that room years ago because like you said, the pay was half of what it is now and they don't put you up, and it's kind of in the middle of, It's like in a, it's located in Michigan where it's hard to get to another city unless you're right on top of it. So,
yeah. Yeah. I also just realized I completely skipped this weekend. For some reason, I started talking about next weekend when I was looking at my dates. So I do also say this weekend, the week that the podcast drops, on the 9th, I'll be at Books and Brews in Brownsburg, Indiana. Those tickets, I think they're having a problem with the ticket site or something, but they just went live. I've had a couple of people message me about how can we get tickets? All these ticket links will be on my website, so you can go there. Yeah. But I'll be at Books and Brews in Brownsburg, Indiana on the 9th. And then on the 10th, I'll be at Jennings Station in Newburgh, Indiana. And then on February 11th, Super Bowl Sunday, I am not performing on the show, but I will be producing the Galentine's Day show at Cardinal Spirits. We got an amazing lineup of all female identifying comedians. Holly Lene from Louisville, Kentucky is headlining it. Always kills, always crushes. And so if you don't care about the Super Bowl, and if you think female comedians are pretty neato, I don't know why I'm going with this one. No, but if you're looking for something else to do and you want a great night of comedy of killers, you know, regardless of gender, they just happen to be women. You can check that out. Tickets for that are on sale. And it's a fundraiser, as always, for a local charity. And so you're also doing a little bit of good.
Love to hear it, man. Love to hear it. Go check out that Galentine's Day show. You ready for a question of the week?
Let's hit that question of the week, Dwight.
We have a question from Instagram, from Ben Katzner, very funny comedian living in Minneapolis right now.
Limestone alum, yep.
Yeah, very funny guy. Has a question. How do you tell a friend that their submission tape isn't good enough? Wow, timely, as Matt just sent me his submission tape.
Yes, exactly. And I'll tell you exactly how Dwight told me.
How do you tell a friend that their submission tape isn't good enough, whether that be content-wise or technically, like you can't see their face, weird audio, etc.? Do you even bring it up or just let them submit and get the message?
Do you want me to take a stab at this first?
Yeah, go for it.
I think you have to tell people, because I was also recently on the other side of this. And also comedians, I mean, you know, again, I've been doing comedy for 15 years. Like, I like to think that I'm very, very analytical and tough on myself. And, you know, obviously I've been trying to get one specific set for 6 weeks of taping, because there are definitely versions of it that I think other people would have been like, oh, that's pretty good, I'll send that. And it just isn't. I'm you know, I'm very hard on myself. And I still, because of the audio aspect, I was like, I need another person's opinion on this. Am I just hitting the point where I'm like frustrated? And I was like, oh, I need to just, you know, and I was, if you were going to be like, yeah, the audio's not great, I would have just been like, all right, I'm going to, and you didn't say that. You were like, you were watching it for the material. You thought the joke selection was good. You thought my energy was good. Right. Yeah. And I didn't want to tell you why I was sending it, because I didn't want you to like focus on the audio thing. I wanted you to like, if it occurred to you, like the audio's not great, to say something, then I know most people would notice it, right?
Right.
So I just sent it to you, like, what do you think of this as a submission set? And so you said very nice things, which was great. I recently was had a comic reach out to me, and I don't want to say who they are, because, you know, this is like a, you know, it takes a little something to do this. You have to be humble to a certain degree, like, hey, let me know, am I whack and thinking that this is good? The comic is trying to submit to a specific festival, not Limestone, but a festival that I've done before. And they were like, I'd really love to do it. And this is the clip I'm thinking about sending. And I had to write back and I'd be like, this is not it, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of dicking around for the first minute and a half. And it takes, you know, and then it takes another 45 seconds before the audience even gets to get on board. I was like, you got to be coming out and just like.
Yeah.
And so that person just today sent me, this was a couple of weeks ago, and they were very appreciative. Like, thank you. Like, you're totally right. I see that now. I understand. You know, they just wanted to do this festival so badly. Like, they were like, oh, is this one good enough?
Gotta send it.
They said, I found another clip and I've uploaded it and it's perfect.
Yeah.
They're killing from the jump. The type of material they're doing up top. So I'll just say what the festival is. The fest is The Fest in Gainesville, Florida, which is a punk rock music festival that also has comedy, right? And they have headliners like Chris Gethard and Dave Ross and, you know, Shane Torres did it last time. And so I've been lucky enough to do that festival three times, right? And so you are doing great comedy with other great comedians, but the entire audience is all these punk rock kids. So the second set that the dude sent to me, he didn't write these jokes for that audience. He comes from that culture too, which is why he wants to do it.
Right.
He's opening with a bit that is so perfect for that audience. And he's doing it just at a regular ass comedy club in front of a regular ass crowd. And it's still working. It's still killing. And I was like, this is it. This is the one you sent.
Yeah.
This is what you do. And he was very thankful to me for that. So yeah, I think Ben, you got to drop that hammer. If they're really your friends, that's the real question. Are they really your friends? Are they
how
just people you
good
know?
Of a friend are you? Ask yourself that.
Yeah. If they're just somebody, you know, from around the scene, you don't, you know, you just like, you know, good luck, dude.
Yeah. Good. Man. Like, yeah. Set that $20 on fire.
Yeah. But if they're actually your friend, I think you got to be like, hey, man, this isn't it. You should try again, you know, or point out what the problems are, you know.
Specificity is always king when you're trying to get feedback. When you're trying to give like actual constructive feedback to someone, it's very hard to, I think, ask someone to take a look at your clip.
Oh, so yeah.
You want to treat that person with actual respect and be honest with them. If you're not in the mood to watch it at the time, don't watch it. Like, make sure you're in a good headspace to watch their clip and give constructive feedback. Like, mm-hmm, don't like, especially if it's like 5, 6, 7 minutes, like don't be distracted.
Yeah.
Like, actually watch.
Yeah.
Like,
don't be playing on your phone and just listening to it. Actually watch the set, watch it. Yeah.
And, I think it's I treat it like, all right, this person respects my opinion, so I'm going to make sure that that remains the same and give them actually what I think. Something just similarly happened to me where a comic was asking about a submission clip, and it seems to be the same things. Like, they don't get into the set quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a pet peeve, but like, why can't you cut out the intro? Just start with the clip on you on stage.
Yes.
Don't talk to the crowd for the first 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And just get into your set. I know it kind of goes against what we just talked about, but just edit the best 7 minutes out of your set.
Yeah. What you're doing in the room and what the final product of your submission tape are two different things. You know, and in the clip that I sent you, I did edit out the intro, but I still left in me like saying, oh, Kansas City is so good to be back. Let's just jump into it. And I almost thought I could just cut that out.
Yeah.
I could just start with like, so I just turned 50 last year. I could just start on the joke if I wanted to. But I thought there was a good energy in like the way I was addressing the crowd is like, and it was like 8 seconds before I hit the joke.
It's a big difference between eight seconds and 38 seconds. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's not that much time in these submission clips. Everything matters. Everything matters. So, honesty is, I don't think you let someone that you like or call a friend send something bad,
mm-hmm,
because you don't know who's on which panel, who's going to see it. You could really damage someone's reputation by letting them send a bad clip. You don't know what that person books. And also, like, this is from the clip watcher side. Like, if you like, like, both parties have to have respect for each other.
Yes.
Like, be genuine with what you send. Don't send garbage and be like, I can't believe you made me watch this.
Yeah.
Like, my patience is very short for shit like that. Like, I'm not going to watch 4 of your submission clips. I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah. No, exactly. And that's something I did want to talk about, too, is like, if you're on the other side of it, man, you better for real be friends with that comic that you're hitting up asking to watch your submission set to give pointers and advice on.
Yeah.
Like, you better have that comic's cell phone number in your phone.
Yeah.
It should not just be some dude that you know from around the way, some female comic that you or happen to be Facebook friends with. Like, you, if you're asking this kind of favor, you need to, you need to be, you know, for real, like, friends with this person, because it's a big ask. You're asking them to take time out of their day to give you constructive feedback. And the 4 clips thing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't send a 20-minute clip, which a comic has done to me. And I'm like, I will murder your family. I ain't got time to be watching your 20-minute opening for 7 people in wherever the fuck you are. It's like, I hate that. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it. take the time to send your friends good clips and then get feedback. But like you said, you are going to be your own, you should be your own toughest critic.
Yeah.
Now, if you're trying to like get into highly competitive stuff, I think that's when you want to pull in outside sources, because you've been watching the same set over and over and your ears are starting to bleed. So you're like, hey, can you take a look at this for me? I need some outside eyes on this.
Yeah. You've been not only just watching maybe that particular tape of it because I'm editing, but if you've been running it several times, which we've talked about many times on this podcast, that, you know, at this point, whether it's your phone or you buy a camera or whatever, you should be trying to tape every single show that you do. And if you are trying to get the submission set, I really believe this is one of the best pieces of advice I ever got. And it was from Greg Warren. It's like you run that set every single show for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the best set, best version of it, and then you send it and forget about it. And like, well, that was it. Hopefully that works, you know. Yep. And then you move on. And but that means, you know, depending on how much you're getting up, you're going to get 10 to 30 different takes of that set.
Yeah.
And you have a lot to pick from, because again, if you just try to tape on one or two occasions, your the battery's going to die. Someone's going to stand in front of your camera, your tripod is going to break in half and it's going to tilt the entire video for 40 degrees and it's placed underneath a blower fan. I mean,
it's going to be tinsel.
You have holiday tinsels in your front of your face, you know? So, Ben, hopefully that answers your question. It really comes down to how good a friend they are and, you know, whether or not they're willing to accept that sort of honesty, which if they're reaching out to you, then hopefully they're adult enough to take it. If you're like, yeah, I don't think this is it, man.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. I just quick tips, just reminder when sending in submission videos, got to be able to see you, got to be able to hear you. And you want preciseness and you want to be able to hear the audience laughing.
Yes. Like,
I know, like, so many people are like, these are great jokes, but the audience is like dead. That matters to a panel.
It does. Because again, you're coming down to comes down to comparing video versus video, mm-hmm. right? It's its own standalone thing. These panels have watched a bunch of videos, and all it takes is something like the crowd being dead.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like there are clubs that will tape your set for you and give you video, but it's just the mic feed.
Yeah.
The audience, you might be doing well, but we can't hear it. The audience sounds like they're, you know, in a basement somewhere, you know, far away from you. All that shit matters. And also, to be very clear about the being able to see you thing, because I've seen a few clips like this, because, you know, I was previewing before I sent it to the review panel to make sure they work, right? Because comics, real bad at following instructions. And so I've already had to email about 15 people this year already for Limestone. I'm like, hey, your clip is set to private. It needs to be set to unlisted or public, you know?
Yep.
But like ones that do pop up and everything's working, everything. I've seen a few where it's recorded with the cell phone at the back of the room and they did not zoom in. And so the comic is a tiny, yes, you can technically see them. You can technically see that person, but they are one of the smallest things in the frame of that image that you're watching. That's not good. That ain't good. Mm-hmm. Like the, you know, back of people's heads should not be the biggest thing in your video.
Right. You know? Yeah, it's hard to get good tape, but you got to try. You got to try. So thank you, Ben. I appreciate that question.
Thanks it's so much relevant. For reaching out. Yeah, it's super relevant. When you told me that was the question of the week, I was like, oh, we could speak intimately on this issue.
Oh, yeah.
If you out there have a question of the week that you'd like us to take a stab at, you can email us at mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com, or you can just hit up Dwight on Instagram, which is what happened this time. He loves to get those personal messages. In fact, go ahead and send him your 20-minute videos and ask him, you know, to give detailed notes and feedback. You can do all that in his DMs.
No character limit on those DMs. No file limit on those DMs, unfortunately.
I would love it if next week we got a question and it's just like an anonymous question, like, so how do you handle when your friend tells you that your submission tape is garbage? How do you tell them that they're wrong and yet you're a genius? Oh, we are going to keep this one a little bit tight because we both have things going on that we got to get to and whatnot. But I do want to talk about some comedy goss, some comedy news.
Yes,
this
please.
isn't even gossip. This is just news. Shane Gillis is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live, and
he returneth.
Did anyone have that on their bingo card? Ever. Eternal. Not just for 2024, but ever again. Because, you know, he got hired as a writer and then immediately fired because they found out that he said a bunch of racist and homophobic shit on his podcast.
Yep.
And I like to always make this point because people are like, oh, cancel culture, they're going to dig through and find... Like, he had said it less than a year previously.
Right.
Multiple times. It wasn't like they went back 10 years and he's like, you know, yeah, he was a young dude, said some wild shit. No, he was currently saying this super racist against Asian people and super like derogatory terms for gay people on his podcast regularly, not in jokes, just referring to them in slurs. So he got fired, you know, and of course, because cancel culture is so real, you know, his life ended. He never worked again. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He went on to become a wildly successful and popular comedian.
Insane.
And, yep. And as the great, great Chad Daniels has a new clip out about, like, there is no cancel culture. You just move your audience from here to here.
Shift your fan base.
Shift your fan base.
Love that bit. It's so true. Not even a bit. It's just like real. It's like, look at all these people that have been dirt bags or have been fired from jobs. Just get bigger after.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so no one thought, I mean, I guess Lorne Michaels is just a cuck. Like, what the fuck is going on that even no matter how popular Shane Gillis got, you would just think like, well, we very publicly made this big decision and there's no way we can possibly have him host the show. We just can't do it because it would make us look like a bunch of fucking hypocritical assholes, which is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so now you don't care that he said all that shit?
Right.
Like, and so, and continues to be very edgelordy in his comedy, you know? And also, as someone else pointed out and has found the tweet and like reposted it, Shane Gillis also said he would kill himself before he would ever host Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
It's like, well, here's your chance, daddy. Come on.
Yep.
You got until the end of this weekend, apparently, or whenever he's hosting.
My God. Know? It's insane. I knew that he has recently become one of the biggest draws name wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I did not see this one coming. When's the last time you watched SNL?
I watch clips every now and then online. I haven't sat down to watch an episode because, I mean, you know, we're usually working. We're usually on stage when Saturday Night Live is on or driving home.
I see clips, but I haven't watched like a monologue. Will you be watching this monologue just to see?
I mean, I'm sure that I'll see it online afterwards. Yeah, because I'm just curious. I am going to watch this monologue in hopes that because, you know, the show is live. It really is live from the East Coast and everything. So my hope is that during the monologue, Bowen Yang comes out and hits him in the face with a baseball bat. That's my hope. That's what I hope I will be seeing Monday morning when I finally get around to checking it out on YouTube. Is just Bowen Yang shattering his fucking nose with a fucking baseball bat. That's
what means anything anymore. You know what I mean? Like
money, baby, dollars, viewers, followers, money. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, people taking victory laps in this, like,
oh my God.
So it's just, I don't know. I've never watched a Shane Gillis set. I've just
same. I've never seen the full set. I have seen jokes of his that have come across my, you know, algorithm on TikTok or whatever. Yeah.
People love him.
I'll watch it. Yeah. And he knows how to do comedy. He knows how to write a joke. He knows he can do comedy, but it doesn't outweigh being a piece of shit in my book. It's like, I don't think there's any comedian that's so amazing. Like I really, if we're going to say like, what's the test, the test for that is Chappelle.
Yeah,
really. Up until like a couple of years ago, when he got up his own ass and thought that he was infallible, like the Pope, and started just making all these like never-ending jokes about trans people because they dared speak out and say, "Hey, this isn't funny."
Right.
Up until that point, there was no doubt that he was the GOAT. He was the GOAT. You know, he kind of like surpassed Pryor and Carlin in that conversation. He was the greatest of all time. And then he started doing this shit, and you were like, "Well, you just lost that ranking." But there is still that thing of like someone who's that good at comedy, it still doesn't outweigh being a good human being in my book. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people who weigh it the other way around.
That's what we talk about. Like, people, the only people that care about this shit are comedians.
Yeah.
It's like, we just talked about, like, people that steal jokes. It's like, that makes you a bad person. But it will make you a wildly successful person, too. So, you know, the people that care are comedians, and it seems less and less that the gatekeepers, the Lorne Michaels or the comedy club bookers of the world, are joining that rank of people who just don't give a shit.
I mean, most comedy club bookers have been in that side already, because, you know, like, how many times has Brian Callen been accused of rape and sexual assault, and yet some clubs still book him?
I've been I've been sworn never to bring that up again, as I've been working Helium Comedy Club after Facebook rants in 2020 about that said individual. I won't say his name anymore, but that's what I mean. It's like, I voice concerns about these people, and then I get in trouble, but I don't have anything to lose outside of working these places. These people are still going to work anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is a side rant, but it's like, at what point does martyrdom mean that I don't get to eat as well? Like, it's not hurting me. It's hurting.
It's not hurting them. It's hurting you.
Exactly. It's only hurting me.
Yeah. It's only hurting you.
I'll talk shit about them on this podcast that only other comedians listen to that care about human beings. And, but yeah, it's disappointing to see that type of rhetoric given such never ending platform. Yeah. There's just like no space where it can't be.
Right.
Dead, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and that brings up the question too, which is like, you know, I guess we shouldn't be surprised by this when Saturday Night Live also had Trump on when he was running for president the first time. You know, this guy that was, you know, took out a full page ad, you know, calling for the death penalty for black teenagers. You know, this guy that long before he ran for president had proven to be a fucking giant piece of shit, particularly in New York City, where he and his father were slumlords, you know. And so the fact that they put him on there, it's like, okay, they've a long time ago just been like, all right, we're going to just go with whatever is popular and
ratings.
It's all going to be about ratings. And so it does push the question of like, is comedy, as comedy goes more and more towards this like anti-PC comedy mothership, like fucking like just really catering to the poor, like oppressed straight white men in this country that just can't get a break. Finally, someone's speaking up for them, that, you know, like, you know, like that kind of fucking horseshit comedy that's just reductive and racist and wants to get away with being racist. Again, like Shane Gillis makes all those jokes and uses the slurs for Asians and not black people, because he knows black comics in New York would have whooped his ass if he was saying the N-word a bunch on his podcast. It's like the same thing with like comics that use the R-word. It's their it's the cowardly version of the N-word.
Yeah.
Like, because if they think they could get away with it, they would be saying the N-word, because they're obviously pieces of garbage that just want to be like, oh, I say what I want and I'm dangerous. I don't give a fuck. If you don't give a fuck about what other people think or feel, you're a terrible human being.
Yeah.
You're a terrible, it's called empathy, and everyone should have some of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you don't have to have all the empathy, but you should have some. Anyway, so do you think comedy is going to get more niche and fractured? Like, for comics that are not that, like, obviously there are going to be certain rooms that aren't going to book, you know, these kind of, you know, like, are we just becoming more and more of a, like, a very specialized type of comedy? It's wild. They don't open their special with a 70-year-old joke about beating women, you know, like.
Take them down, Matt. Take them down. No, I don't think so. I think there are a trillion people on planet Earth that like good to do, well-meaning, you know, comedy that are turned off by that edgelord. It's just hot now. It's just what's hot now. Like, it's provocative. It's what's hot right now. So I just stay the path, stay the course. We didn't get into this. The chase trends are to, like, you know, be so downtrodden when our brand of comedy isn't what's hot right now. So, but that's not, I don't even know if that's true. There's so much good comedy out.
Well, that's the thing is, as you always say, there's all different types of comedy for all different types of people. And that's right. And what is just getting a push and is very popular right now is this fucking incel edgelord dipshit thing is getting all the news, right? Getting all the sort of mass media stuff. Mm-hmm. But you still have really great and intelligent, sensitive comics that are, you know, doing other things out there that are succeeding too. They're not just like on the fringes. They're doing very well. I just always think about this, which I had said years ago, but I think it's still true. When we started to really see like edgelordiness kind of creeping up, right? Like the first wave of like Doug Stanhope clones who missed all the intelligence with Doug Stanhope, you know, all they got was like the edgy offensive part. They didn't get the actual highbrow intellectual message behind it. Is to me, what's way more edgy than using slurs and punching down and saying like, ooh, like stuff that PC police don't want you to say, that shit is boring. Like, dog, we live in a post two girls, one cup world. There's nothing you're going to say. All. There's nothing you're going to say. There's no word you're going to say out of your mouth that is more crazy than that. You can watch people get beheaded on YouTube right now. Real human beings getting beheaded on YouTube. Like, you think your little joke about a different group of people is so fucking edgy? Like, no, the real edginess is like vulnerability, you know? Yeah. Like, how raw and real are you willing to be up there about your own life and your own emotions? Not raw and real, like taking shots at other people. How about you fucking take a few shots at yourself, Shane Gillis? How about you open up that fucking chest of yours and talk about your fears and your fucking weaknesses? That would be impressive, and it will never happen.
No, it won't. But when he comes to Indianapolis, I will ask to open for him. So, can't wait.
Yeah, I know comics that have opened for him recently. They posted about it, and I'm not gonna, you know, go get that money. But I mean, I'm not gonna say I think less of that comic, but I definitely think something about that comic now. There's definitely an asterisk to that comic's name in my head. I'm like,
you damn shill.
Did you really need that $250 that bad? You know, or they don't think there's anything wrong with it. They think that what he's doing is completely fine and it's all comedy, like the great excuse.
Yeah.
It's just jokes. Well, it's hate speech. It's hate speech in joke form. And so is it just jokes? I don't think it's just jokes.
Yeah.
You know?
Is there a redemption path for old Gillis?
Maybe. I mean, honestly, like,
did he apologize? You know,
I don't think he's ever apologized. No, I don't think he's ever apologized. Not that I ever saw. And definitely when it all went down, he didn't. He just pushed back. Like, I was a comic funny enough to get Saturday Night Live and no one can ever take that away from me. That was his apology.
Gotcha.
You know, and so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I would think that, like, I don't think he's sort fully, of his... I don't, Louis has kind of, because at least Louis's talking about what he did and how it affected his life in his act, which isn't the same as redemption. But it's at least not. It's like at least a little bit of like not like self-awareness of like
it's self-awareness. It's not an apology. Yeah. It's like it's not like I'm I sorry. Think
he,
for
but he did apologize at the time. I mean, I'm not saying we should let Louis off the hook. I'm not saying we should let him off the hook. I mean, again, he's selling out clubs. He's selling out clubs everywhere. So lots of people have let him off the hook. But I mean, of all of them, he seems less likely that he's doubled down, but maybe he's still doing the same shit. I don't know. Like, maybe he's still doing the same horrible shit. I don't know.
Well, that's a bigger conversation for another day, but let us know what you think of the Shane Gillis hosting SNL. I probably will watch the monologue just because I want to see if it's just no holes barred, if he doubles down on this hate speech, or if he, like I said, I don't know. His,
tiptoes
I don't,
around it. Yeah.
I don't know his stand up. So, it's interesting. It's interesting. I don't think SNL will be like, you can't say these things. Maybe. And he still might. So it's a live show.
Yep.
So we will see.
Yeah. Write us and let us know what you think about that. MattandDwight@gmail.com. MattandDwight@gmail.com. And until next time, be a good person. love comedy, be a good comedian, be a good comedy fan, but first and foremost, be a good person. Let's just start there.
Be the well-meaning drunk white lady you want to see in the world, gang. You can do it.